And preaching is not just about going into the study and taking a passage and coming and seeking to expound that passage. The preacher needs to seek to come to the congregation with the word of the Lord. And the Lord impressed verse 1 upon my heart this week. It's a well-known text. As the week progressed, I thought to myself, Lord, and I thought in my heart, Lord, I have other challenging gospel messages I could preach in Garva, messages I'm more familiar with, more comfortable with. But this verse was laid upon my heart for this time. And I trust that as we considered, and we're going to flick through the scriptures tonight, I trust that it will be God's message to our hearts this evening. But let's just have a word of prayer and pray for God's help before we come to consider the lessons from this text. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts this evening. May the word of the Lord that has come to my soul this week be a challenge and a blessing to all who will gather now and hear thy word. Shut out every distracting thought. Make the things of eternity very real. And fill me with the Holy Ghost to preach thy word as thus and thus saith the Lord. Remember every other place where the gospel call will now be delivered. O God our Father, gather souls into thy kingdom. Save the lost, extend the church. And may glory and honor be brought to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we ask these things in the Savior's name. His sake. Amen. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This text of Scripture highlights and reminds us of the uncertainty of this life. The uncertainty of this life. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The lesson that Solomon here impresses upon us is further emphasized in the New Testament. In James chapter 4 and the verse 14, James says, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We cannot see into the future. We do not know what the next hour or the next day will bring. And Solomon would remind us and he would warn us that unexpected things can happen that can change the course of men's lives, could change the course of your lives, and maybe even end your life altogether. Life, men and women, is uncertain. I think that that is a very relevant lesson for us to consider tonight. The media has been making much in this past week and indeed the past weeks that today, the 15th of April, 2012, is the 100th anniversary since the sinking of the Titanic. And all those years ago, on the 10th of April, as the Titanic set sail on her maiden voyage from Southampton, stopping in Cove in the south of Ireland, or Queenstown as it was then, and then making its way to New York on its maiden voyage. No one on board that vessel, no one on land thought that that ship would sink. It was named the unsinkable ship. Bruce Ismay, the chairman of the White Star Line, he made this statement: "I cannot imagine any condition that would cause the ship to flounder. I cannot imagine any disaster happening to this vessel. Modern shipbuilding has come beyond that. And with every assurance of safety and every available luxury, the Titanic sailed to New York. And yet you know the story well. Because 100 years ago to the moment and to the day, the news was starting to filter through that the Titanic had struck an iceberg. It had sunk in the icy waters of the North Atlantic Ocean with the loss of some 1,500 lives. Can I remind you tonight that when the call went forth for the passengers to make their way to the deck and to enter into the lifeboats, they scarce believed what was happening. Some thought it was a drill. Some thought it was precaution. Others simply did not believe it was real. They thought the ship was unsinkable. They had been sailing at full speed. Many were enjoying the luxury, the pleasures of that ship. It was fitted out with a gymnasium, with a heated swimming pool. The first class passengers were in absolute luxury and enjoying the best that this world could give. They had fed on the finest food. They were sailing on the most modern ship. And I put it to you, as they went to their beds that night, they did not think for one moment that before that night was through, the majority of those passengers on board would meet their end in an icy grave. They simply knew not what a day or an hour or a few hours would bring. And at this time, when this province's attention has been drawn again to the sinking of the Titanic with the loss of all those lives so tragically, I think we do well to remember that life is uncertain. Some were going to start a new life in America. Some were going to open businesses in America. Some were going for other reasons, and they never made it. Because life is uncertain. And the evening of the 14th of April into the morning of the 15th, many souls were lost. My friends, can I remind you tonight that life is uncertain? And you know not what a day may bring forth. And you never know the moment you could be ushered into eternity. And because this text sets forth the uncertainty of life, it also highlights the folly of man. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. It was Charles Bridges, in his commentary on the book of Proverbs, who said, "To provide for tomorrow is a scriptural duty. But to boast of tomorrow is great sin." Joseph provided for tomorrow. Do you remember the story when he brought all the grain and the corn into the barns and he prepared for the 7 years of famine? That was wise counsel. He provided for tomorrow. But to boast of tomorrow is great sin. And yet man so often, and we're all guilty, even God's people at times fall into the trap or make the mistake of boasting of what we will do at a future time. If you turn to James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, you will see that this spirit is described. Verse 13, James says, "Go to now, ye that say." He's speaking to a certain group of people. And this is what they say, "Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." And here is this group of people and they have a business plan. They're going into a certain city, they'll buy and they'll sell, they'll continue a year and they'll leave and they'll have made their money. They're boasting about tomorrow and about the year to come and how much they're going to prosper themselves. He reminds them in verse 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." It is folly and it is foolishness to boast about the future. And because this text exposes the folly of man, and because it reminds us of the uncertainty of life, surely by implication, it would remind us of the necessity to prepare. Not to prepare so much for this life and what will come, but to prepare for the world to come. Amos declared in chapter 4 and verse 12 of his prophecy, "Prepare to meet thy God." And I remind you tonight, there's a God in heaven. He's the creator. He's the judge of all the earth. He's the one before whom you will stand and give an account of your life. And therefore, you must prepare to meet him. And because you do not know what a day may bring forth, you know not when the death angel will put his hand upon your shoulder and draw you out into eternity, into the world to come. Surely it reminds us of the necessity to prepare to meet God, to repent and to believe the gospel. For I remind you this evening, that is the only way to prepare. Repent and believe the gospel. What a solemn, searching text Proverbs 27 verse 1 really is. And as I thought about this text, my mind was drawn to three men in the scriptures. Three men who looked to the future. Two of them, we might say, boasted of the future, and another was wise in regard to the future. And I want to share with you something of those men tonight in the time we have remaining. I want you firstly to turn to Luke chapter 12. Here's the first man who boasted of tomorrow. Luke chapter 12 and the verse 16 to 20. Do take time to turn up the place. The Lord spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have nowhere to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, Now I want you to notice this is his attitude. This is what he's declaring to himself. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He boasts to himself that he has many years to come. And I want you to notice that this is a man who was taken up with the material things of this world. Now there is nothing sinful about providing. There is nothing sinful in itself about riches. This was a rich man. And it isn't a sin to be rich. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And there are rich men in the Bible who were godly men. Men like Abraham. Men like Joseph of Arimathea. And there is nothing wrong with a man's business doing well. In this case, this man was a farmer. And his ground brought forth plentifully. Maybe he was diligent in the field, in the sowing, and in the working of the ground. And in came a bumper harvest. But I want to say to you tonight, this man's problem was that all his mind was focused on was his temporal state. The things of this earth. And when his land brought forth plentifully, he thought, I have much goods laid up for many years. I can eat, I can drink, and I can be merry. And all the time, he's taken up with life. He's making plans for many years. He's taken up with the material things of this world. He's taken up with the pleasures of this world. And he's thinking that he'll take his ease. And that he'll enjoy the pleasures and the sinful pleasures of this life and this world. And he's boasting about what he's going to do, albeit he's boasting to himself, I will pull down my barns, I will build greater, I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I want you to look at verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. He was foolish for a number of reasons. It's a terrible thing for God to call a man a fool. This man was foolish because he put the temporal before the spiritual. He put the things of time before the things of eternity. He put his physical needs before the needs of his soul. And he was foolish because he thought he had many years left. And in essence, or in reality, the very night that he boasted that he had many years to enjoy the pleasures and the sinful pleasures of life, God took his soul out into eternity. He had made it big. He was prospering. He was rich. And he had all that he needed and all that he wanted. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36? He said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Here's a man and he'd gained much. And yet he lost his soul. And he went out into eternity that night. And he perished. And his soul was lost in hell. And do you see all the riches that he had? All the wealth. And all the pleasure that he had enjoyed and that he hoped to enjoy, it meant absolutely nothing to him in eternity because his soul was in hell. I wonder tonight, how many in this province, how many in this town, and is there even one in this meeting? And like this man, you are boasting about what you want to do in life. You may not boast openly or outwardly to others, but you have it all worked out in your mind. You want to do certain things. You want to achieve certain things. You want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you put off and you put off and you put off getting right with God. And all the time you're boasting about the future. And yet in a moment, God could call you out into eternity. I have to remind you tonight that all your achievements in life will mean nothing if you lose your soul. There's a little poem, and it reads like this. I don't know where I found this poem. It was possibly quoted by another preacher, possibly Spurgeon, I'm not sure. But it reads like this. Stout and strong today, tomorrow turned to clay. This day in our bloom, tomorrow in the tomb. Couldn't we place that as an epitaph over this foolish man's life? Stout and strong one day, tomorrow he was turned to clay. One day he was in his bloom, the next he was in the tomb. My friend, you do not know how long you have on this earth, and therefore you need to prepare to meet the Lord. I want you to turn over to the book of Acts, for there's a second man who boasted of the future. Acts chapter 24, verse 24 and 25. Acts 24, verse 24 and 25. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. Felix was the governor. Paul was a prisoner. Felix's wife was a Jewess. I believe she would have instructed him and taught him, or at least informed him of the faith of her forefathers, the expectation of a Messiah. The belief that that Messiah would bring deliverance and salvation. And as Felix heard that and knew that from his wife, he then heard Paul, and he knew that Paul was preaching and speaking about Jesus, and how that he was teaching that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah. And he called Paul to listen to him, and he asked Paul to speak to him about the faith that was in Christ. Verse 25 says, and as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Notice what Paul preached. He preached about righteousness. No doubt he told Felix that he had no righteousness of himself, for all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There is none righteous, Paul said in Romans 3. No, not one. I have no doubt that he told Felix that. But then he pointed him to Jesus, and he taught him that Jesus provided righteousness for all who will believe in him. He preached about temperance. That's a holy life, abstaining from sin. You see, the one that is righteous in Christ will live a holy life and abstain from evil and sin. And then he preached about judgment to come. Someday, Felix, you'll stand before the judge of all the earth. And as Paul preached the gospel under those three headings, Felix trembled. He was convicted of his sin. But notice what he answered. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. What was Felix saying to Paul? Paul, I'm troubled about this message. Paul, I want to get right with God. I want to be saved at some time, but Paul, not now. Paul, go your way, and when I have a convenient season in the future, tomorrow, next week, next year, I'll call for you, and then I'll get right with God. The foolish farmer boasted that he had many years to live and he was going to enjoy the pleasures of sin, but his soul was taken out into eternity. Now here's a man and he knows what Paul is saying is true. I believe with all my heart Felix knew that Jesus was the Messiah, that salvation was offered in Christ, and that to be right with God he had to receive Christ. Now he's boasting. He's saying some other time, a more convenient season, I'll call for you and I'll get right with God. And he's boasting that in the future he'll get saved. How dangerous. How dangerous such an attitude and such a position really is. For I am told in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3 that my spirit shall not always strive with man. And there in Noah's day, Noah preached for 120 years and he preached the gospel and he preached that men needed to get right with God. And there came a day when God's Spirit stopped striving with the men of that generation. And my friend, if you know the gospel's true in your heart, can I beseech you tonight, be reconciled to God. Don't procrastinate. Don't put off getting right with the Savior. The Bible says now is the accepted time and now is the day of salvation. Because how do you know? But your soul could be drifting over the deadline tonight. That tonight would be the last time when God would strive with you and convict you. That you would tremble. You would be convicted in your conscience knowing that Christ is the answer to your need. But you could go away and like Felix, the convenient season would never come. Felix boasted that he would get right with God at a convenient season. Nowhere in the New Testament do we ever read again that Felix ever called on Paul. In fact, 2 years after, we find that Paul was still bound in prison in verse 27. And Porcius Festus came in Felix's room. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Do you know what that says to me? That 2 years later, Felix's heart was hard against the gospel and against the preacher. And my friend, you put off salvation. Don't you think your heart will grow more tender as the years roll by? Because man's heart, as the years roll by, tend to grow harder and harder against the gospel. And that's what happened to Felix, and he never called on the Lord. For I beseech you, if you feel the strivings of the Spirit saying, come to Christ, then yield. Yield your heart. Accept Christ. For how do you know that you'll ever have another opportunity in time to come? The foolish farmer boasted that he had many years to enjoy life and he was taken out into eternity that very night. Felix boasted that he would call upon the Lord at another season. He never got right with God. I want you to turn to Genesis 27 and verse 2 in closing. With this reference and a few comments, we're finished. In Genesis 27, verse 2, we read of Isaac. And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death." Now here's a man, Isaac, and he's a godly man. He's a saved man. And he's looking into the future. And here is his confession. "I know not the day of my death. I do not know when I will enter into eternity." Friends, I am not going to read the remainder of the chapter. But if you take time to read the following verses, you will discover that because Isaac knew not the day of his death, he began to make preparation for his death. And he sent Esau out into the field. And he began to make ready to bless his sons. Now I know he got it wrong, and it was the Lord who kept him right. And that's a message in itself. But the principle and the point that I am making to you is this. Because he looked into the future and he knew not the day of his death, he realized, "I have to make preparation for the time when I am gone. I have to make ready." And my friend, that's a principle that we apply to you in the gospel. Because you do not know the time of your death. It could be near, it could be far. And because you do not know when God's Spirit would cease to strive in your soul, then you must make preparation right now. And it brings me back to where I started. I leave with you the words of Amos. "Prepare to meet thy God." Jesus Christ began to preach, and his first sermon contained those words, "Repent and believe the gospel." You can only prepare to meet the Lord by repenting from and of your sin. Believing the gospel that Christ was sent to Calvary to die as a sacrifice for your sins, and that in paying the price at Calvary, he has purchased a full and a free salvation for all who will believe. Have you believed the gospel? Have you repented of your sin? For that is the only way that you can prepare for death. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." 100 years ago, the passengers on the Titanic ship, they had been feasting. They had been taken up with plans, their futures, the pleasures, the luxuries of that great ship. Yet in a moment, it was said that it took 3 years to build the Titanic, and in 3 hours from striking the iceberg, that ship lay at the bottom of the ocean with 1,500 lives lost, plunged into eternity. What a timely reminder. We know not what a day may bring forth. Therefore be wise, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. We'll sing our closing hymn tonight, 256.